Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old broads. I'm Ronnie.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hi, how are you? I'm broadcasting from an angelic cloud today.
You sure are. You just died and went to heaven. It was that Melissa Etheridge performance that just sent you there.
It sent me right there. I said,
God, have a fucking Ricola, Melissa Etheridge. Jesus Christ, stop breathing out of what are you smoking, tailpipes of cars?
Is that the instruction she puts on Postmates? Come to my window. Just gets all the burritos through the window.
I'll be home soon. That's the lyric, right? Come to my window, I'll be home soon. What the fuck? Meet at the driveway.
You're about to come home.
It just sounds weird. Go to the window. Like, what if somebody's at my house and they're just like, somebody's at your window, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
My window, I'll be home soon. Yeah, how about you fucking logistics. Open the door for me and stop being ashamed of me, Melissa Etheridge?
Yeah, how about you invite me in like a human being, okay? Yeah. Come to my window. What are you talking? You're talking to a squirrel? Come on now.
What am I, homeless or toothless, Melissa Etheridge? Everybody, welcome. This is a Crappens On Demand day, so we're on video. So if you want those videos, to see these gorgeous faces, just go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's also where you'll find our bonus episodes. This week, we're going to be doing either a trailer park or a trailer recap of Girls... Girlfriends and
Real Girlfriends.
What's wrong with me?
It's Real Girlfriends. It's not just girlfriends. They're Real Girlfriends in Paris.
Oh, got to get that branding. Yeah. Real Girlfriends of Paris.
In that's Paris.
Whatever. I really don't care, okay? I haven't even made it through this opening. I doubt I'm even going to make it through that trailer. But we might be doing that, or we might be doing Teresa's wedding video. We haven't decided yet. It's whatever we can download more easily. But that'll be up tomorrow. Thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us on Take a Seat. That's our live Spotify show on Mondays. That's gotten really busy. It's been
very fun. We had a lot of people. We had like 800 people or something like that the other night?
Yeah, it
was 900? I don't know.
So thanks for coming. That's every Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay. We'll be there this week again. And now.
Wait, guys, and one last thing, a very important reminder for people who did not hear it earlier in the week. This Monday marks the grand return of Winter is Crappening. It's our Game of Thrones podcast. You can catch the new episodes here on this feed, the Crappens feed, or there's a separate Winter is Crappening feed that you can just subscribe to. It's going to be the same content, whatever's easiest for you. And we are covering the new HBO Max series/spinoff, House of the Dragon. So we're going to start with a trailer preview as our first episode next week, and then the week after that is the premiere. So, you know, get yourself excited for all of that.
Yeah, and those of you who are like, this isn't Bravo, we know it's not Bravo, okay? But it's all blonde people, so just pretend it's Orange fucking County, okay?
They're just as vapid, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What an episode. Wow, what a car crash of an episode.
Wow. This episode had everything. Melissa Etheridge, a crazy charity, just those two things. That was enough. Asher singing a song. Everything.
Asher, Lisa Rinna just going off literally for no reason. I mean, grasping at straws at this point, Lisa Rinna. Someone said, Lisa Rinna, you have to come to work at some point in the season or you're going to get fired. You have to do something. And she's like, okay, I'll just yell about something, bitch. It's like, okay, well, Lisa, you have to have something to yell about, okay?
Yeah. Oh, it also had Kathy Hilton. And by the way, did you see that clip of Kathy Hilton on Watch What Happens Live afterwards?
I did not, but I sure heard about it.
For those of you who missed it, there was like a game where it was like Andy would put up a famous person on screen. And I was like, Kathy, do you know who this person is? So he put up a picture of Lizzo and Kathy goes, precious. And everyone in the studio just like everyone was just like covering their eyes, and she's like, what? No, that's what I call her. I say that she's precious. I say she's a precious person.
Right, Kathy, right. Yeah, what an idiot. Kathy Dumby, listen. You're about 2 weeks away from your story of like Kathy Hilton's a racist homophobe, and this is how you enter. It's like you're just building up that goodwill, you fucking idiot.
She can't be racist. Sorry for her. She learned about race from Michael Jackson. She can't be racist, Ronnie. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have never really felt a need to stand up for Kathy Hilton, and I'm certainly not going to start now. Dumb move, lady. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, there are plenty of older people who might not know, but just say, I don't know. You're going to go with Precious, like the first large black woman you can think of.
And also, like, also, Precious is like a good 11 or 12 years from now, so she just hasn't really updated her reference. Like, how many people has she called Precious over the past 10 years? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
Here we are with this episode. Lots more cringe coming your way. That was just the aperitif. That was just the cringe aperitif, everybody.
Yes.
So let's just start right off. First of all, we ended off with kind of a cliffhanger last week at Lisa Rinna's, where she's like, "You, how dare you do this to Harry?" And then it ended like it was going to continue, but it didn't continue.
No.
And instead, we have to watch PK get dental work. I mean, Jesus Christ, they need to put a TVMA up there. If you have to put a TVMA up there for somebody smoking in an episode, I need a full paragraph of TVMA for having to watch this pasty motherfucker get his nasty teeth done. Okay.
And of course, the MA stands for Matisse. So I'm sure we had to watch this because as part of PK getting, I'm assuming, free, veneers or whatever, free teeth.
Well, yeah, you know, he ain't paying for that shit.
Yeah, it's just like he had to put on this doctor on TV and like, you know, they agreed to this right before the pandemic, I'm assuming. And now it's like finally the Pied Pipers come to pay? No, it's, you know, whatever, the Pipers come to pay, is whatever it is. I'm blaming anytime I can end a sentence. I'm just going to say, I had COVID, guys. I had COVID.
So we're at Doctor, just so he gets his full money's worth, we're with Dr. Sam Saleh, or Saleh.
Yeah, Dr. Sam. And,
these are such Beverly Hills secretaries. So PK and Dorit walk in, and the secretary's like, oh my God, hi. Good to see you. Oh my God, your teeth look so good. I love your dress. I love your hair. I love your skin. Oh my God, that second chin is looking amazing, PK. You know what you get where I come from? You're late. No, I'm not. I'm on time. Really? If you're on time, then you're 5 minutes late where I come from. Sit down. The doctor will be here when he can.
Well, that's a real sassy dental office, Ronnie. Real sassy. They at least have any of that like those ridiculous, like, toothy cheer you up posters around. Because, you know, every dentist's office, always there's, like, some tooth that's happy that's like, what a great day to get your teeth cleaned. I'm like, you know what? Shut up. Fake tooth. Cartoon tooth. Okay?
Actually, my Texas dentist is very nice. They do have a lady in the front who's like, hi! Like, she's too much, you know? She's like, how are you? I'm like, you do not care. Stop pretending that you... But the ones I had in Hollywood, they were real bitchy. And the lady who actually did the teeth cleaning was named Princess, and she'll kick your ass. Okay. Yes. Persian place. I loved them. They didn't fuck around. Okay. Anyway, princess. Secretaries. So then PK looks right into the camera and he's like, I'm looking forward to getting teeth done.
Can't wait, babe. It's like, hey, stop calling all of us babe.
Well, you do realize you won't be able to talk for 10 minutes, Picky. That leaves me with the talking stick.
That's normal life for me, babe. Get it?
And they're like, ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha.
So PK got his teeth done 2 years ago, and then Dorit, you know, she couldn't now be the one with the shitty teeth in the relationship, even though her teeth looked more or less fine in the before picture. So she got her teeth done, too. And she reminds us that you're not a real couple unless you get your teeth done together. Oh, look at that toothbrush. It brushes the top teeth and the bottom teeth. How chic. That is the most chic toothbrush I've ever seen.
You're not a real couple until you've avoided multiple bankruptcies together and the law. And the Bellagio. I mean, you can say what you want about these two, but they are a good couple. The dentist comes in like the secretaries. He's like, you guys are aging in reverse. Wow, the teeth must have really spearheaded that aging campaign, right? Dr. Sam Saleh.
And PK's like, actually, shit's gone down since I got these teeth. A home invasion. A DUI. I mean, these teeth don't appear to be that lucky. Now there's a shortage on salt and vinegar potato chips. I don't know. It's like, ixnay on the on the bad press A on teeth, PK. These are for free, okay? You say, thank you. These teeth have changed the world.
Right. The Bellagio threatening to break my kneecaps unless I pay them back. How could it get worse? Oh, we're about to see pictures of your teeth, your before pictures. So Dorit's like, what? Oh, and also I love that PK is openly admitting to getting a DUI while Dorit is trying to pretend like, oh, well, he blew drunk. But then by the time they got to the police, he wasn't drunk, so he didn't get a DUI. He got to driving under the influence of just wanting a little Wendy's drive through from the
DUI. DUI. TJALW. That's all. Driving under the influence of just wanting a little Wendy's.
So she's like, well, I'm not happy PK didn't tell me about getting taken in by the police, but it doesn't make me lose all trust in him. If he makes another mistake, I won't be so easy on him, because the police were hard enough on him. They only let him get 2 shakes and a burger at the Shake Shack on the way out. They refused to stop again for a Happy Meal. He hasn't been happy since. I mean, Blue Lives Matter. Well, say that to the sobbing, hairless lump of flesh, leaving tear stains on his pillow every night. What about his life?
Then PK is like trying to talk during his cleaning.
Suctioning. It's like triangles of cheese coming out. Is that a Happy Meal toy trying to get through the tube?
Is that a Hot Wheels that just got through? Wow. They say it was a Happy Meal. They didn't say what part you don't eat. So, well,
Dr. Salehi, I'm doing this charity. It's called Homeless, Not Toothless. The funny part is, the homeless they help are toothless. So, it's not just a charity, it's a riddle.
It's for people that couldn't afford getting their teeth cleaned, you know, because they're homeless. But now they can get their teeth cleaned, but still stay homeless. So PK and I are putting on a little event called This Is What a Home Looks Like, Homeless Person. Now here's a smile.
I mean, I think it's just such a negative name for a charity. No offense, you know. But I suggested something more positive, like maybe I don't have a home, but I've got gums. Or houses for the toothless. You know, we couldn't afford an actual house for every toothless person in Los Angeles, but we could just make gingerbread homes for them. Gingerbread homes for the toothless. We could give everyone a pint of milk to wash them down.
We were trying to get Brad Pitt on the board, and we were going to rename it What's in the Box? Teeth. But unfortunately, he wouldn't come up. Because homeless people live in boxes. You get it. You see where I'm going with that.
Now, let's look how hard I've worked trying to get people to come to the charity. Roll the clip. So they roll this clip of Dorit just calling everybody, you know, in the cast, going, well, listen, we've got a new charity. We're working on names. Toothless and Homosexual.
Right. Crocodile Dundee is donating his necklace to be used as a smile for someone very lucky. I've already put in 5 calls with my former neighbor Sharon Stone, but apparently she is hanging out with the Dalai Lama. So we're hoping that it'll be a star-studded event at some point.
Lisa Rena, please come to Toothless DiPeppo, the charity.
We have decided to revamp the Capri room, and instead of lemons hanging from the ceiling, it'll be teeth. And homeless people can come in and choose the tooth that they want, and then they go back to the street where they live.
Now it's just the Cap room.
We're building bridges.
Well, Sharon Stone used to be my neighbor, and she said, do you live with the dough man? And I said, isn't he attractive? And she said, well, listen, I wanted to talk to you. And I said, you listen here, Sharon Stone. PK is obsessed with anyone who will flash their beaver at him. You're in. What do you want to discuss? I said, Sharon Stone, what do you think about homeless and toothless and chic? How about that?
It was a bit hard. She was trying to push some sort of charity about people who lose their toes to Komodo dragons like her ex-husband. But I convinced her that teeth would be more fun than toes.
I said Komodo Tonodo. You're a Komodo, not a Tomodo. That's not really got a ring to it, does it, Sharon?
Homeless, not without Komodo dragon. But that didn't quite work.
So we see a picture of PK's before teeth. That shit is disgusting. You put up an eating disorder thing every week at the end of this show. You better put up one for PK's teeth. Like, if you've been disturbed by seeing PK's teeth, please call 1-800. Someone needs to help your disturbed ass from looking at PK's teeth. Something.
But when I showed that picture to Sharon, she said, this looks like just like the thing that bit my husband's toe off. So, yeah, there's a lot of PK's, old, like before. There's a lot of before the after, and it was very traumatic. So Dorit invites Sam, Dr. Sam, to this charity event, and she's like, maybe you'd like to come. He goes, oh, and maybe we can select a well-deserving person and we can give the gift of a smile. I was like, or maybe the gift of, I don't know, a house, or I don't know.
Like, well, you're going to get one homeless person teeth, but not the others, and only if they're deserving? Like, what is this?
I know.
Like, it's going to be a meritocracy? Like, what are you going to do? Like, have them play games to win the teeth?
Listen, I think, I mean, look, dental, like, obviously it's very important to have, you know, good dentistry. And it is true. Like, you know, like if you have some issues with your teeth that actually could really impact you trying to get a job and get your life going. But I feel like the name of this charity, Homeless, Not Toothless, is so funny because it sort of implies like, well, you're homeless, but that's just going to be the way it is. But we can fix the teeth. And I just am like, they really need to rebrand this thing.
Well, it also sounds like an argument, right? Like, I'm homeless, not toothless. You know, it sounds like you're yelling at somebody. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously a good charity. We're just making fun of it because it's on this show. But
yeah.
So Sutton is now in her office, sitting with Joshua. So she's like, Joshua, I can never find my car keys. And he's like, it might help if you put them on the keychain.
Now, Joshua, you and I both know that I have no idea what a keychain is, okay? So before you start throwing out these terms at me, you got to educate first, okay, Joshua, you motherfucker?
So Crystal comes over, and she's doing Kathy's Heller. She comes over, and you know, they do small talk. Like, you look so fancy. You were so dressed up. Crystal's like, yeah, I call this a kitchen sink outfit. It might not look COVID-y, but like, I might not look COVID-y, but I'm really exhausted.
Yeah. Crystal needs to work a little bit on her Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Entrances. She's like, yeah, it's my kitchen sink outfit. So Sutton's like trying to sort of jokily get her to work at the boutique because her daughter has a sore throat. And she's like, I pay commission. Okay, you can make a lot of money here. And they just like show all the very, very full racks of clothing that have now been purchased, you know. And
they're like bright pink dresses with bright pink feather boas attached to them. And they put sound effects of crickets over them. like, look at all this reaction to the clothes. Crickets, crickets.
Yeah, things flying off the shelves.
And Crystal's like, well, I mean, I did work. I was at Victoria's Secret when I was 16, but I got fired because I was too young. Like, how did you get hired then? None of this is making sense.
I can't believe Victoria's Secret would have poor hiring standards.
So she's like, so I walked right across the street to Finish Line, and I hate feet, but I got $3 commission if I sold shoe cleaner. And I was like, God damn those people. I knew that they were giving those kids extra money to do that shit. And I'm the one who falls for it every time. Cause I'm like, if you don't buy it, they're going to bully you. You know,
if you, they don't buy it, they'll know you're gay. Okay. I'll buy the shoe cleaner.
Every time. And then you try and use it, and it just like smears some weird color that's not even the same color as your shoe on your shoe. And then you get it on your hands, and it doesn't quite wear off. Blah. Mm. You smell it while you're trying to eat Cheetos. Fuck those people. This makes me not like Crystal. There I said. Yeah.
So Crystal's like, so how was Sabado, meaning Saturday? And so I was like, it was terrible. And so Crystal says that she actually met up with Lisa Rinna the day before and like got the skinny on what happened, according to Lisa. And Sutton's like, well, Lisa blew up at me. And Crystal said, well, she says that she's very angry at you.
Well, but we went to lunch. She didn't say that at lunch. She waits until she has an audience so she can explode and then look at me like she wants to kill me. And she's like, well, do you want to resolve this or not? She's like, I have done everything I can. This is on her, not me. You know what? I'm sick of talking about it. Except talk to me, because you have not talked about what's going on with you. Okay? I'm going to start some eating disorder drama right now, because I'm really sick of my own.
Okay? Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to say the words eating disorder, but I'll just say, what's going on with you? I'll just say lately, really slowly, and that will imply eating disorder. So, Crystal,
French fries, eating disorder? like a question.
Yeah. So, Crystal, she says that she talked to Rinna about Amelia, and Rinna says that everyone was talking about Crystal's eating disorder, and you know, we see a flashback of Rinna saying that it came up and that, like, you know, like, she can get Crystal help, like, because she went through this with Amelia, so she can, you know, help out Crystal if she wants it, etc. And Crystal sort of, sounds like she's not ready to get help, because I think that she says that she doesn't want to face the notion that this is going to be forever, I guess. So she's struggling.
Yeah, and Sutton's like, well, the concern was, like, is it grave concern for Crystal, or... And she's like, what, like, judging me? Were they, like, judging me? No, but they were using your shit as, like, fodder for gossip.
Yeah.
Which was kind of tacky. At the same time, I guess on the other hand, she's kind of making it her storyline. I don't know where I fall on this. Last week, I thought it was really gross watching the scene. But
I mean, I thought it was gross that they air, like, that Dorit just sort of, like, put it out there, what I imagine is sort of sensitive stuff that Crystal was talking about. But I didn't, but simultaneously, I didn't feel like they were being judgy. I just felt like they were, like, I actually felt like there was maybe actually a shred of concern there. But it was just, but it felt tacky in the way that they did it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, Sutton's basically, I think, saying, like, I don't know if it was, like, grave concern or just gossip, basically. But Crystal's like, oh, they were judging me because I have an eating disorder? And she's like, or just saying, like, what is this? You know? And she's like, well, this is a lifelong journey, and it's not about money or time. I have a disorder, so I'll find a page from their perfect book, okay? I guess I just won't have this in a week, guys. So she's, like, pissed now, you know?
Yeah.
Which I get it, but you kind of open yourself up to that. It's almost like, no, I guess I don't want to compare it to anything.
It's slippery slope.
It is. And I'm like, well, that's probably a pretty shallow way of pulling from your own past to relate to this. So I'm not going to do that. But
there are a lot of, like, well-intentioned landmines that we can just step right on right now.
Yes. Yes. But so, when you bring it up, of course, people are going to ask, you know. It's like the second you say, oh, I'm not having a drink today. But then someone sees you drinking. They're like, I thought you weren't going to drink today. And you're like, why are you judging me? But you open yourself up by saying, I'm drinking too much, so
yeah,
really gotta step back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So let's talk about something a little bit more evocative and interesting and emotional for me. I want to talk about something that, like, brings a little bit of a tear to my eye. I'm talking about Asher playing a piano in the living room with a fedora on. So lost in his music, he's forgotten his own girlfriend is in the same house, except for the fact that there's a camera crew all around him. He's playing some sort of like failed Broadway song, it sounds like, a ballad. And
it's like typical, like when you learn how to play your piano chords in beginner, they're like, okay, here's your 1-4-5 or whatever. Like his chord, he's like, blink. Would you be there when I'm drowning in the depths of my despair? I just want you to hold me so I never feel lonely. Oh, my God. Shut up. Shut up. I hate you. I hate you so much now. Why do you love me? Because you're a hot fucking twink. Why do you think? Okay?
Ooh, you know what? My favorite time is when Asher forgets I'm in the house and he's on the piano singing. I'm like,
you didn't forget you're in the house. There's a camera crew in his face, and he's auditioning for America right now. Second of all, you never leave the house, it sounds like, because there's dust out there in the world. So you're always there. So we would never forget that you're there.
What a poser. This kid Chip from Beauty and the Beast with a fedora and little those little sideways diamond sunglasses he's wearing. I'm like, you're already looked at like a paid for twink. Why are you trying to look younger? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
It's sad. And then Diana says,
oh, you know, Asher has led a very sheltered life growing up on Broadway. He's always been admired on stage. He's very sweet and he's a child. I'm like, wow. All the things that I look for in a partner. Sheltered and a child.
Literally, Diana. Literally, okay? You just make yourself look gross with all of this. So he's like, well, the baby is about to be born. Meaning my music. I'm like, well,
yeah.
Okay. And she's like, well, you know, he's softened me a lot because he needs my hardness and my strength and money. And he's just not confrontational at all. That's my strength. Yeah, of course he's not confrontational. You think he's going to argue with the lady who's bankrolling whatever the fuck this is? Listen, not many yes. Not many people are going to pay for, I want you to hold me so I never feel lonely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want his album to be called Whatever the Fuck This Is. That's what I want it to be called. So they retire to the living room to have lunch. And so it's served to them. It's just basically caviar and like a light salad. Yeah. So that is why Asher is not being argumentative. So then they start talking about having a baby again, like trying again. And, you know, like how it's actually good because now they're young, the baby that they have can like, they can have some time with that baby they can hold and whatever, give it attention. And then, Diana says that Asher really grew up fast when she had the miscarriage. I'm like, yes, I'm sure he did. You know, it's a big thing, but also like, again, why are you dating a child? Why are you dating someone that needs to just like get to the basic level, the entry level, you know what I'm saying?
He's like, well, you know, I really want to take this time to work on my music. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, we can try again later. I'm like, well, the time's a ticking for one of you, okay? So Erica comes to Kyle's and Kyle's like, oh my God, there's so much going on. There's like gardeners, and I had to tell the gardeners what the dog poop picker-uppers were saying about them, and then they got in a fight. I mean, it was so much. It was just a lot.
So this is – I love when Kyle concocts busyness in her life that's not really busyness. You know, she's like, oh, my God, there's, like, so much going on. Like, I've got to take the decorations down, and there's a gardener here, and then there's an electrician down the street. There's, like, just so much that's happening right now. It's like there's really not a lot happening. Just you're just – like, you're doing nothing. Yeah. You're actually just sitting in your house while other people are cleaning various parts of your estate. Right.
It's like standing in the lobby of an office building, like, oh my God, I'm so busy. There's a dentist over there. There's a lawyer up there.
I'm literally going to 100 different lunches right now at 12 o'clock. I'm both getting into the building and checking people for their security clearance. It's crazy how much I'm doing. So so they go back to the backyard, and Dustin is there. He's a stretch coach, which
he's a sound bath guy, which welcome to your future, Asher. I love that they followed Asher trying to sing his shitty song with the sound bath guy. The evolution of the fuck boy.
Asher is like a sound hoe bath. You know what I'm saying? So, Dustin, but his official title is stretch coach, which may be a stretch that he's a coach, but, they have a gong set up and, they're stretching. There's a lot of stretching. And Erica's like, wow, I think I'm having a love affair with the pain. So I just lean into it. And then it's Kyle's turn. And of course, Kyle can't just stretch. She has to reveal a new malady that she is besieged by. She's like, I'm not just bendy. I actually have something called hypermobility syndrome, and this is actually a problem, and you're not supposed to be born like this, but I am. And sometimes my arms and legs and brain go numb. It's terrible.
I looked up this, and this is like when joints are like popping out, or like you're flexible in the wrong places. I don't think it's when you can just do the splits and like fucking do the splits on every dance floor you come across, Kyle. I don't think that that's really the same thing. But I love that they've both got their personality lines like spouted out, you know, every time. Because Erica's like,
oh, yeah, I'm flexible. Works out in all situations. I could drop it if I need to.
It's like, of course, Erica's got a Blanche from Golden Devereaux. Girls. I was going to say, oh, Devereaux. I was going to say Dubois, but I caught myself. And then Kyle is like, but I'm the real victim here. I have an illness that makes me do the explicit parties. Syndrome.
Soon Kyle is going to announce that she has uncombable hair syndrome, you know, which is a real thing. By the way, it's a real thing. It's
so they're like, future Asher, I really love this gong. He's like, you can get them at Gongs Unlimited.
Which, by the way, can we just pause that there's a website called Gongs Unlimited for all your gong needs? Gongs Unlimited. Like, do they have just like a few gongs? No, girl. It's Gongs Unlimited.
You can get any kind of gong here. I mean, take it from our spokesperson, Lady Gong Gong. Lady? She's Lady
like, poker face, gong.
Gong Li is here. Isn't there an actress named Gong Li? Anyway, so it's from a place called Gongs Unlimited. Then Kyle goes, dongs. Okay, Kyle. Well, she actually goes, D-O-N-G-S. Okay, first of all, Kyle, you just asked where the gong is from, and he said Gongs Unlimited. So why would you even think that gongs are sold at a place called Dongs Unlimited? Okay. I know she's going for the joke. You know?
They're just tricky. It's like that random middle-aged person who might be actually searching the word dong. They're like, got her. We've got one guy. We've got a gong convert. And of course, Erica says exactly what you think she would say, too. She's like,
Dongs Unlimited sounds like the porn search.
I was like, oh, my God. Erica, you're in your 50s. You're going to have to find something else to your personality. It's old. You know.
Also,
literally, find something else.
By the way, I don't think anyone who's looking at porn ever says, sounds like something on my porn search. First sign that you're not looking for porn is you call up my porn search. It's on my porn search.
I was searching for Dongs Unlimited the other day.
So then they have tea. And I put tea with bear cups. I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you why. I will tell you why. So Kyle goes, oh my God, look at these little bears. Aren't they so cute? So now those are the Ralph Lauren bears, because Ralph Lauren puts these like cute bears on bears, things like sweaters and stuff. So immediately I was like, okay, she's like, this is so cute, as if she went to some thrift store and found these adorable mugs with bears. No, they're like mass produced, which is fine. They can still be cute. But I just loved that she drew attention to them, because of course I looked it up, and to buy a set of four of those mugs cost $175. So it just, to me, it's like Kyle really just drawing attention to the fact she got designer coffee mugs, which I hope that freaking, you know, Storm or that other like wild animal dog that she has. What's it called? Like Lollipop or something, or Bambi. Ugh, I can't wait for Bambi to knock it over. And then Kyle to say, oh, well, you can't control Bambi. Well, how do you think about that? Once Bambi destroys your $175 coffee mugs, that anyone can get, by the way, Kyle, not just you.
Meanwhile, you're doing it to you're presenting these in front of your poor friend who's literally going to go home and, you know, buy the rights to Dongs Unlimited.
She got them at Mugs Unlimited. So, so Kyle's asking Erica about what her dating situation is, and Erica's like, yeah, well, I'm going out to older men. Well, I mean, younger, but older. I mean, younger than Tom, but older than me. So, yeah, porn searches, am I right? God, I live such Dongs a sexy Unlimited, active life.
That's what I'm going for. Dong, dong, dong.
So Kyle's like, let's start with the party. Garcelle talked about your drinking at the party, and Erica rolls her eyes. And she's like, well, I'm a little over this whole story being circulated. Erica's got a problem.
I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem. You really realize who your friends are in these moments.
Erica always says that. This is when you really realize who your friends are. Okay. No one, Erica, because you bought all your friends by bragging about private planes and shit that was being taken from poor people. Okay. No one's really your friend when all you do is brag about how you can take them places on your private plane.
Yeah. I hate this idea of holding all friendships hostage for every situation. Like the moment someone says something critical, it's like, well, this is when you find out who your real friends are. Do they serve you tea in mugs with bears on them, or do they just use some free thing they got from a conference? That's when you know who the real friends are.
But do you think she's coming from a good place? Well, it's a Ted Danson sitcom. It's a bad place, Kyle. It's a very, very bad place. I don't want this.
Oh, so she does this monologue for us. She's like,
I don't want this. I don't want to be a medication. I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to be in this house. I don't want to be anything I am right now. But you know what? God damn it. It's where I am. And I fight myself out of it the best way I know how. Okay?
I never said I was a good mother, but I'm trying the best that I can.
I just love when she's like, I don't want to be in this house, this disgusting multi-million dollar house with a pool and more than enough room for me to live very comfortably. I don't want to be in it anymore.
The irony is that house would probably sell more than the dump in Pasadena, which they couldn't offload to save their lives. I mean, the lawyer Ronald Richards was like, we're putting a bid in for $5. I'm getting my money this bad.
Her current house is nicer. It might be smaller, but it's nicer. So Erica's like, I guess the moral of the story is you can't have a good time in front of these people. Well, I guess that was the moral of the story for Denise Richards, who had a good time with Brandy Glanville and then had to sit and listen to you all just tear apart over it.
Right. But also, while we're looking for lessons, you can have a good time in front of these people. You just have to be a good time. You know what I mean? So you need to learn to be a good time while you have a good time. You've got a long road ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of another sitcom, good times.
Good times. So Kyle's like, is everyone going to go to Dorit's Black and Gold party? I'm really confused about what it is. And Erica's like, okay, homeless, not toothless. And they start cracking
up. They just start cracking up. Kyle's like, I can't with the name. And Erica's like, the name is wrong. The name is wrong. But maybe that was the point. And Kyle's like, what? Are we supposed to bring your spare teeth to the party?
Yeah, you're not going to forget what it is. Also, you all do have spare teeth, which is kind of funny that Kyle makes that joke. She's like, what are we supposed to bring our spare teeth? Lord knows you've all gone through 4 pairs each. You know what I mean? You've got new teeth every time. The least you could do is donate them to somebody in need.
Kathy's gonna show up there with her hands cuffed, be like, I'd like some more teeth, please. So she loves teeth.
So getting ready for the
glam.
Glam time. So Rob and Crystal are getting dressed and being wacky, and they're very entertained. I'm not really. And then we go to Garcelle and Sutton FaceTiming, and Sutton's like, if you see me sitting next to Lisa, would you please come switch seats with me?
And then our Kyle is FaceTiming with Rinna, and Rinna's like, hello! Gorge! And we find out that Harry is not coming because he basically doesn't leave the house anymore. And Rinna talks about COVID, wherein she was tired and foggy and sweat. She sweat a lot, which is much like my experience too. So there you go, everyone. I'm like Lisa Rinna when I'm sick.
And also everybody else with COVID. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, you know what's so weird about a cold? I get a runny nose. Oh my God, me too!
So now over at PK and Dorit's, PK's like, where's my bombshell?
Where's my baby?
So they've set up this big dinner setup in their foyer-ish area. And they've set these tables up and they all have this like shiny gold tablecloths. But they're like, it's actually kind of like a leopard print-esque or tiger. So it's like gold with like weird black splotches. And then, like, red flowers on it. It's, like, really the most hideous table decor we've ever, ever, ever seen. It looks like Teresa
Giudice's groom cake. It's bad. So then Nick, the party planner, is all skeevy. And he's like, I pick this fabric because it seems like a dress you would wear. I've sewn little CCs all over it to look like a knockoff. So it seems like the real you. You're going to love it.
PK is like, it looks like a work of art, babe. A work of art. I'm like, yeah, a shitty work of art, okay? So Dorit is like, I love a theme, but I don't like when people put a dress code that's difficult to achieve. And I thought, gee, black and gold, that's not difficult. It's very chic. So I know each and every one of them is going to kick it out of the park.
So they're running down time, you know, because Dorit has everybody do. She's one of those, like, typical. You have everybody else working for you, but then you're like, here's the time. At 6 p.m., people will enter. At 6:15, we will see hors d'oeuvres, which Watch out, we've got piggies in a blanket. Just like, I love that she's acting like it's this fine affair.
Yeah, with the undercooked pigs in a blanket, I'd like to add. Those things were like white on the outside.
Those things look and, like PK out the shower.
So they're just talking about like how there's going to be a surprise musical guest, and they have a really good, you know, they have a good track record with this. And then we get to see a flashback to one of our favorite excuses for a surprise.
I'm terribly sorry about the curtain during this dinner party. We're having a massive black mold issue. Please, please enjoy this food next to this curtained off mold area.
So he's like, all right, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have our special surprise guest come out, and I'll have this remote control here for the lighting. She's like, don't you mess with the lights, PK. You can't do the lights. He's like, I can. I know how to work the lights. Sure I do. No, you don't. You're a man. You idiot. Like, Doreen is losing her mind over these lights, and it's so true. This is, like, such a guy thing to
do. Yes. So,
you know, my house, they're all on like a little remote, and I can be like, watch what I could do. Turn on the lights in the living room. And then they don't work. And I'm like, God damn it. Turn on the lights in the living room.
I feel like we definitely had a few live shows that went as smoothly as PK's lighting moments. Like, okay, we're going to start the show, drop the lights, all the lights come up. So, so she's right. Like, she's like, don't touch a thing. Don't, PK. You're scaring me right now. You're scaring me right now, PK.
You weren't scared during the teeth before picture. You're not allowed to be scared now. You know what I mean? You showed that you've got a stomach of steel, lady. So Rena's picking up Erica, and Erica's like, oh, these shoes suck. They're hooker shoes.
I found them when I was doing a porn search for shoe fetishes on porn, on porn, porn.com/porn.
To that, Dongs Unlimited goes to a hooker shoe site.
That was actually designed by Gong Li. So,
so Kathy arrives with, I don't know if this Dwight. Is the thirstiest gay on Bravo, but God, this guy has been passed around like the vid.
He's
all over. Hey, wasn't he Taylor's best friend?
He started off as Taylor. You know, this is the moment. Like, this, we're resurrecting all of Taylor Armstrong, and that includes her gay. Okay, he started as Taylor's gay, and then he sort of like worked his way into the Vanderpump world, and then he nearly killed Ken, and he disappeared for a little bit, and he's been resurrected by Kathy. But by the way, I mean, that if you're a gay, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he got resurrected by like a top socialite in the city. Say what you will about Kathy Hilton, but that is, he struck gold as an aspiring hanger on, you know?
Yeah, because he went to Kathy Hilton probably through Vanderpump, and then
Kathy, the next stop,
where you go from Kathy Hilton,
Chris Kardashian is the only place left.
Yeah.
The only stop left is Chris Kardashian, and be careful, don't fall into the Faye Resnick trap, because she is like, she's like a little bit of a trap on the way. You got to like avoid it. It's like the poppies in Wizard of Oz, you know?
Before you know it, you're going to have store-bought shelving in your closet. And like,
yeah.
So I love those scenes. I miss those scenes though, where Kraft's like, wow, Faye Resnick redid my home. And it's like, that's like a live, laugh, love wood cutout from Home Goods. And it's shipped. I saw the same one at Home Goods. You know?
It's like, I've never seen a wrought iron duvet before, but she did it. Very heavy.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, so Dwight is back, and Dorit tries to be, she's like,
we know Dwight from a former friend. And then we see like Dwight pushing Ken into the pool. And then from that former friend, we're no longer friends with that friend because she formally said things in a radar online, but now Dwight is back.
Mm-hmm. So, Dwight, you're back in the PK folds. That's not a place I ever want to be. Okay. So then Kathy's like, oh my God, I love the front of the table decorations. Those are amazing. Oh, Dorit, are you wearing the same dress? Amazing.
Yeah, Kathy looks at the place tags and she goes, oh, Leanne's coming tonight. And they're like, no, that's Diana. But I'm like, I wonder which Leanne she was thinking of, because if it was Leanne Locken, I just love the idea that in her mind, Leanne Locken's like, I'm here, motherfuckers. All right, who wants teeth? Because I can get, give me a hammer and I'll give mine right to any homeless person. It's easy for me to do. I've done it before. By the way, Leanne Locken posted a photo with her and Julianne Moore the other day. And I just was like, God, I love this world. Like, we're, I don't know how Leanne Locken and Julianne Moore cross paths and take a photo together, but it happened. And, you know, God bless.
Somewhere Julianne Moore is like, did you ever see that movie with her?
Of course. Safe? I love that movie.
Was it called Safe?
Safe. Also known as like the Real Housewives of every city, starring.
I know, right? Also known as Kyle Richards. Just
Kyle Richards.
He was like, oh my God, it's a disease.
So Kathy is like, whoa, I love the font. This is beautiful. And then Diana shows up in like bright, I would argue not gold. I would argue shiny yellow. And she's like, huh. Is this gold enough for you? I look like Pirate's Dream. I'm a treasure chest. You need a new villain? Here I am.
So Kathy's like, where's your boyfriend? And she's like, he's doing a concert, internet, virtual something. I don't know. I just set the whole thing up and paid for people to sign on to. So I don't know. He's
auditioning for Nickelodeon's America's Next Best Kid Singer, I believe. I don't know. He looks fun, but he put slime on head.
Well, he's very talented. I really didn't know what to expect. 9 times out of 10, it's a disaster. So, she does that like, you got one. You finally got a talented child.
I mean, did you hear my daughter single? I mean, God bless. So, now Erica and Rinna are arriving, and they're just talking about drinking, and Rinna's like, oh, I've already had a shot of tequila. I've already had a shot. And they go up the stairs, and Rinna, of course, enters in the most Rinna way, going, oh, my God, and that's Gorgia!
Yeah, it's you! It's you, Gorgia!
How are you? Taylor Armstrong's gay. How are you?
So then everybody starts showing up, you know, and so then we see the charity reps, right? So this is the dentist's daughter. The dentist.
Well, this is a different dentist. Yeah, different dentist.
Jake Grossman, right? So this is Jake Grossman. So he does a lot of this stuff. He set up this charity, and I guess he sent his daughters over here. All right. And they're, like, excited to be here. God bless these girls, right? They're, like, excited to be here. And they're like, thank you so much for doing this. My dad is so sad he's not here. And Dorit's like, Dr. Jake Grossman has done so much. He's also a real character. Roll the tape.
And then we see Dr. Jay Grossman, and he's like, yeah, I've got 9 kids. Yeah, I mean, I thought I had 3, but then 6 showed up at my door after I did 23andMe. She's like, oh, you're a spam donor. Yeah. Yeah, that was the joke, Dorit. Yeah.
Wacky, guys. I think there's a Netflix movie about you, sir. Okay? You're ruining this charitable episode. Okay? Back off, creep. Jeez.
Seriously. So then,
they're talking. Kathy is. We're seeing shots of the party, right? So then we see a shot of Kathy talking to these sisters, and she's like, "Oh, so it's a charity for teeth? Oh, well, it's hard to talk without teeth. Teeth are very important.
Very important.
I have 2 sets on right now, actually. You're very important teeth.
You know what? It's very difficult to brush your teeth if you don't have any teeth." So, you know, have you ever tried to floss when you have no teeth? It's actually much easier. You just sort of can go right across. But my point remains. So then the sad pigs in a blanket. I wrote, very sad pigs in a blanket. Have they been cooked? That was obviously really upset about this.
I wrote, PK getting out of the shower.
So then, you know, Kyle and Mauricio have arrived, and Mauricio is not wearing any gold because PK is going to be giving him the final piece of the puzzle on that front. So PK gives him a belt. He's like, here you go. That's your new favorite belt. It looks like a seat belt because I had a DUI. We can all talk about it now. All right, babe.
Wow, this belt is amazing. Where did you get this belt? Actually, it was just being kept in a comforter in the garden, so it was easy to find. So Rob's like, so guys, hey, you go to Vegas much, PK? And PK's like, oh, all the time. When I got pulled over for the DUI, I'd actually just been with Lionel Richie that night. Or as I call him, Lionel. All right. Also, John Legend. Or as I call him, John, actually. You know, he probably would prefer Legend, but it's not really going to go that way, is it, mate?
It was just me and John. I mean, me, John, and Lionel, and not the model train. I'm talking about Lionel Richie, of course. And, you know, it was a great start, but, you know, the whole thing went from bad to worse. The real lesson here is when you think you're okay, you probably are okay until you get pulled over by the police. So that's the lesson.
And you love shady-ass Rob because, you know, Rob knows that PK has been in big trouble with the Bellagio for not paying back like $1 million that they owed him. Mm-hmm. So I love that Rob's just like, you've been to Vegas much?
Okay. Didn't Gina on Real Houses of Melbourne have some sort of psychic connection with Lionel Richie? What was it? What was that thing again? Like a psychic came and was like, the love of your life is Lionel Richie. Wasn't there something like that, or am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't remember. But I will say I'm annoyed with Lionel Richie because he has no loyalty, okay? Because do you remember when he wrote a song for Lisa Vanderpump?
Or
didn't she record something with him, with Lionel Richie? It was like,
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. It was it was on the show because Lionel came on the show and she sang something. She sang something with Lionel Richie.
I mean, okay. Lionel's part of this world. I mean, Nicole, his daughter, Nicole, okay? It's everyone's connected on this in like Hollywood of this, like this tier. They're all connected. It's amazing.
I have to look it up. So Lionel Richie, Lisa Vanderpump. Lisa Vanderpump goes reggae with help from Lionel Richie. Lisa Vanderpump's been bitten by the Real Housewives recording bug. The star just recorded a reggae version of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow after dreaming up the idea with her friend Lionel Richie. Yes, you read that correctly.
I'm looking up, well, since you're looking up something, I'm looking up the Lionel Richie connection to Real Housewives of Melbourne. And from what I can find, you know what it was? It was that Gina went and she saw a holistic life coach named Tamara. And Tamara is like, oh, I've worked with all sorts of people, like Lionel Richie.
I like your version better. So, Erica's hearing this whole story, and she's like, Lionel Richie, oh, sure, yeah. And PK says, yeah, the policeman says, where have you been? And I said, with Lionel Richie and John Legend. And then it went from bad to worse. She's like, oh, yeah, you thought that they'd kiss your ass, huh? And he's like, well, the real lesson there was when you think you're okay, you might not be. And she goes, huh.
She's like, still wrapping her mind around that lesson. So, huh. So then Sutton is arriving, and she's brought olive oil and oregano for Dorit. And then Rinna is being facetious. Hi, Sut. Hi. How are ya? How are ya? I think anytime Rinna says, how are ya, that means she's angry at you. How are ya? Because if she loves you, she'll go, how are you? She says, how are ya? You're like, oh, shit. Fucked up.
So I'm like, well, she's angry, and she's not letting it go. So what's she going to do? Tell me to get the fuck out of Dorit's house, too? Don't put it past her.
Yeah, she would. So they're all like, Rinna's marveling that this is like the first time in 6 weeks that they've all been together because of COVID. Like, we're finally all together. And then someone's like, oh, but Cherie's not here. Now Cherie has COVID. And you know that they all were thinking, she's a friend of, it doesn't really count. We're all together. So then now Dr. Sam arrives and Garcelle. Garcelle looks the best out of everyone. She's the only one who I feel like truly got the, like, nailed the theme. And of course, because Garcelle has arrived, we get a Rinna. Hi, Garcelle!
It took me almost as long to say your name as it did for you to thank Harry for his pasta sauce.
So then PK and Mauricio do a little fashion rundown of the women. So PK is like, oh, they look nice, the ladies, don't they? They look nice, babe. Man, babe.
And Mauricio's like, yeah, Dorit's dress is beautiful. Erica's dress is very short.
Dress is short.
It's very short.
Very short. And
It's too short to make
it's too short to make up a thing out of. So it's
yeah, it's done. Now.
So
it's over.
Upsetting.
Okay. So BK's like, all right then, who wins if it's a contest between all the ladies? And Mauricio's like, my wife. No, no, no. If we had to take the wives out of the equation, who would win this one? Your wife. No, both wives are out. All right.
All right. Let's do this. Let's announce it. Well, on the count of three, we'll announce who looks the best. Okay.
All right.
Three, two, one.
Rena.
Erica. Rena. Erica's panties specifically.
Yeah, PK's Pringles. So creepy. Meanwhile, Erica's like, oh my God, look at these shoes. They're over 15 years old. Wow, your shoes are old enough for Diana to date. So then we go to Dorit. No, who's next? I think we go to
Dorit. Yeah, Dorit. Yeah. It's Dorit because now she's trying to set up Garcelle. She's like, I was telling Garcelle that we have this friend. He's our tax accountant and he's a successful, charming man. He's debonair. He dresses nice. He used to do the commercials for Pathmark. He's wonderful.
So you're trying to set her up with somebody who's terrible at hiding things because your tax person isn't doing a great job. Okay, from what I've read in the blogs, ma'am.
The tax guy's like, listen, I won't charge you for my services as long as you set me up with a beautiful young lady. She's like, okay, I know just the person.
So Erica's like, oh, this is your new guy we're talking about? Ah, well. And she's like, yeah, apparently. And Dorit's like, he's like debonair.
And then, oh, debonair. Hey, that sounds like a syllable I use on a porn search. Bone, get it? Debonair. Hey, porn. So,
got Deborah Gibson being boned on an airplane. Fuck me.
Still pretty hot. Hot thing to show up on a porn search, you know? So, Garcelle's like, so Dorit's been talking about this guy for a year. We see flashbacks where she's like, gee, I got to talk to you about Don. He's 60, but he doesn't look 60. He looks 70. He's debonair.
And Erica's like, yeah, well, she set me up too, but I've never even heard from the guy. So, you know, I mean, I do like the effort, though. So Dorit just goes around promising people she's found them love, but then never delivers. What the fuck, Dorit?
Yeah. Dorit has literally never match made once in 6 years, and she's like, I'm actually a pretty good matchmaker. I'm like, maybe you can physically make a match, but I don't know. So
Erica has obvious coke eyes tonight, by the way, for anyone keeping score. Erica just keeps, like, you just keep catching Erica with these wide eyes staring at something like bzz, bzz. So then PK and Mo are still talking, and Mauricio's like, dude, you're getting muscular. Look at that. And he's like poking at him. And PK's like, oh, you're being funny then, are you? You're being that's hilarious.
No, you are, man. You are. It's so muscular right there. It's like, oh, you know what? You're feeling some of the undergarments that Lionel gave me, the made to make you look a little more shapely. So okay. Now it's time for dinner. They all sit down.
Here we are. The big moment.
They sit down at this hideous table. And Rena's like, hi, everybody. Hi. And then she's looking at the menu. She's getting excited. She's like, oh, my God. Ah, chicken parm, chocolate chip cookies, and key lime pie. Yay! I'm like, lady, have you not been to any sort of food establishment in 5 years? I mean, like, and then the menu. Did you look at the menu, Ronnie? Because I would like to discuss this menu with you, please.
No, but I'd love to hear about it. Tell me.
I wrote it down. So, starters, burrata salad. And then you have a choice of either an American chop salad or a classic wedge. Then for the entree, a chicken parm with spaghetti marinara. And then on the sides, jalapeno cream corn and spaghetti squash primavera. I'm sorry. None of this makes sense. What the hell? What janky ass menu is this?
This is terrible. This is bad. This is Dwight. This is Dwight cooking.
Like what happened? Okay. First of all. Okay, so the chicken parm, so it's like, oh, this is going to be like a red sauce Italian meal, but not really, but with jalapeno cream corn. But then also, the parm is served with spaghetti marinara, but on the side you have spaghetti squash primavera. So you have two spaghetti-type things with your entree.
Double spaghetti, yeah, it's bad. Any party I see with key lime on the menu, like key lime pie on the menu, like, what are you, Luby's? please. Enough.
Listen, I'm down for a key lime.
I love key lime pie. I'm just saying, but not like this, at a fancy menu. Party. Like, I don't know.
Well, don't tell Ina Garten that, because her favorite thing to do is that when there's a fancy party, she does something casual. She loves to disarm like that. Okay. That's a classic Ina-ism. But this was not an Ina Garten moment. I will tell you that much. Don't think for one moment I'm giving any Ina Garten cred to Dorit and this horrific menu. Thank you very much. Defense rest.
I won't even tell you what I found when I searched up Barefoot Bone Tessa. All right.
God, Ina Garten, that sounds like something in one of my porn searches, right? Am I right, everyone?
Hi, everyone. My God, will somebody stop her? It's like 5 minutes into dinner and Brenna's still like, hi, hello.
By the way, I also want to mention that none of that food fits a black and gold theme. It's all specifically very red and white.
And green.
Burrata, spaghetti. Anyway. Enough about that. So Erica is like, I think that, you know, like, I'm going to have a drink. Everyone's like, well, you said the champagne was very strong for you, so maybe we don't do champagne. And they're like, how about a mixed drink? I was like, oh, yeah, mixed drinks. Famously much weaker than champagne.
Right. Garcelle's watching. Yeah. Oh, their logic. So Garcelle's watching this and she's like, well, I saw her at the wine tasting and she was borderline, so let's see tonight. Okay, this whole, like, babysitting somebody's drinking, I'm not loving. Like, do something else.
I don't love
else.
That either, actually.
Like, do something else. Erica's a mess. Like, who cares? What do you care? You don't even like her.
I actually agree. I love Garcelle, but I also feel like Garcelle doesn't have to worry herself. I would rather Garcelle just be rolling her eyes at Erica not being able to handle her liquor, you know? Like, yeah. I like that vibe more than being like, she's drinking too much. Like, yeah. She's an adult.
Yeah.
You know?
So Dorit's like, well, hello, everyone. It's time for a speech. And Rena's like, Hi, Dorit.
It's Dorit. I know her. Go ahead.
Well, the charity is called Homeless, Not Toothless, as I told you. And Kathy goes, what's it called? Homeless, Not Toothless.
That's great. Yeah. You know what you need, teeth? You don't really need a home, though. So that's a good title. And she's like, and the doctor has donated one full smile to a worthy homeless person.
The most homeless person here gets to have a tooth.
So, yeah.
Erica, step up and take your prize.
No, it's going to be Bethany Frankel. I mean, I'm basically homeless right now. I'm a homeless person, okay? Like, seriously, what's going on? I'm homeless. All right, I'm a homeless person.
So Diana tells us a very interesting tidbit. She says, well, when I was in my 20s, I depended on the charity to remove my wisdom teeth, and it's really full circle now. Weirdly enough, I actually grew a second pair of wisdom teeth, like a shark. I'm like, no, they took out the wrong teeth, Diana. I hate to tell you. I hate to bring the bad news. They took out the wrong teeth.
I actually looked this one up, too. It's a very educational day today on Watch What Crappens. But I looked this up, too. I was like, can wisdom teeth grow back? Because I've never heard that shit. And apparently, they don't grow back, but some people have extra teeth that are just, like, lying there in wait, like a fucking Pez dispenser. It's like,
wow.
Some people are just lucky, I guess. You have other teeth just waiting to pop
That's
back
kind
up.
Of fun. Backup teeth. Yeah. Wow. Diana.
Now that's a woman who can chop a wedge, all right?
I knew she had extra faces, but not extra teeth, you know?
So Garcelle's like, shows the doc his kids? I don't know. Oh, she's talking to the doctor, and she's like, oh, you know, here are my kids. And he's like, oh, you look great in these pictures. And she goes, well, I've had no Botox, mind you.
And he says, they just sort of banter. I was like, I'm bored with your banter. I don't want to hear Dr. Sam's banter.
Well, I stopped writing halfway through, so I guess I got bored too. I was like, how does this end?
I was like, I'm not committing this. So we're not going to be logging this. This is not going to be part of the Watch a Crappens permanent record. So so then Kyle is like, everything's going too nicely. Let me make people angry. So she goes, she's like, hey, so last Saturday at the wine tasting, I heard that Rena said to you, son, get the fuck out of my house. And Garcelle's like, yes, she did say that. And Kyle's like, but Rinna said she didn't say that. Like, she said maybe I should leave. I don't know. Did I just hear it wrong? Were my ears just being hyper flexible at that moment? Did I hear it incorrectly?
So then we see a clip of Rinna. She's like, oh, my ears are doing the splits. Hold on. So we see a clip of Rinna, and she's like, I didn't say get the fuck out of my house. I said, you're not doing or saying what I want, so maybe you should just leave. So Kyle's like, well, she said it wasn't serious because you didn't leave, so it wasn't really that big of a deal. And so it's like, I don't want to talk about this at the dinner table, okay? Maybe we can do this later, not in front of these people, okay? You don't do that. You don't do that.
They just like cut to Sydney Grossman being like, oh. So Kyle is like, Doree, because Kyle's sitting at the center. It's like a horseshoe shape, and she's at the top of the horseshoe. So she's like pivoting to the other table now. And she's like, Doree, when Rinna told Sutton to leave, did she say get out of my house or did she say get the fuck out of my house? And Doree's like, get the fuck out of my house. How dare you, motherfucker. No, I was repeating what Rinna said. Oh, I apologize.
Well, Rinna said it didn't happen like that. So what is it? And Gristle's like, oh my God, she just said she didn't want to talk about it. Why is Kyle bringing it up? She's always ready to throw Sutton under the bus. Yep. And so she's like, Rinna, yes, Kyle. According to other people, you said, get the fuck out of my house. And that's what I heard. And Sutton's like, wow, great way to have this conversation. Okay, in front of homeless, toothless people. No offense, girls. I hope you didn't hear that.
Yeah, and so Miranda's like, I did not say get the fuck out. And Sutton's like, yes, you did. Yes, you did, motherfucker. And Mauricio's like, well, I wasn't even there, but I know that you said it. So, hey, pretty muscular, bro. Hey, PK, getting some nice biceps there, huh?
By the way, she's already yelling, Rinna. She's going, I didn't say, get the fuck up! It's like, uh-oh, here we go. Rinna's just going to, this is where Rinna's just going to start yelling about nothing, right? So Sutton's like, yes, you did. No, I didn't! Yes, you did. No, I didn't! So then Rinna's like, well, I must have been frustrated with you then, because I don't remember saying the word fuck. Was it brutal? And Garcelle's like, yeah. Well, it was when I said that you were speaking out of both sides of your mouth, just in case you want to go back there if you need a refresher course.
Roll the clip, Bravo. No, you don't want to? Okay. So then Rinna's like, well, who would like that? And Sutton goes, well, you didn't like that. And Rinna's like, well, I think that our issue could be put to bed. And Mauricio's like, I don't think your issue would ever be put to bed.
But it could be. It could be, Mauricio. It could be. Because here's the thing. The fact, and she gets a spoon and she starts like using her spoon as a prop. She's like, the fact that you didn't go up and apologize when you had a chance to my husband, Harry Hamlin. Okay. She goes, while he was leading a wine tasting, no one cares about appeasing the fuckboy from LA Law except you. I don't know why that's a rule on every episode of this. Like, what is Harry going to think? Nobody cares. Why are you bringing Harry into every fight? Also, Harry does not have your back because he was on Watch What Happens Live saying he never got mad about the tomato sauce in the first place.
Okay? That's true. So,
let's call Harry in if we're going to bring Harry into every conversation, get his ass on FaceTime.
Rinna's probably throwing bricks through Susan Day's window. Apologize to my husband. So Sutton is like, she's like, by the way, I fucked up and I sent Harry a very thoughtful text message that goes as follows. And Rinna, of course, is like, no, you didn't. She goes, yes, I did. Here it is. So she goes, happy birthday, Harry. Thank you again for including me last night at your motherfucking wife's event for you. Okay. Wanting to keep the evening about celebrating you, I did not have a chance to express my apology for causing any embarrassment about the fact that you guys did not pay for your table. This was never my intent. Sometimes miscommunication amongst people who do not pay for their bills can wreak havoc. So, with sincerity, Sutton, with a kissy cat face and a heart followed by a money bag sign and then a finger pointing at you like you owe money.
Now, you gotta hand it to Sutton because Rinna, what starts this, Rinna is screaming, you should have gone up to him and said, by the way, but, because Sutton just doesn't take it. She just keeps talking, and then she gets her fork and starts using it as a mic, and she goes, by the way, I did send a text. Like, good for you, because Rinna kind of gets that. She does that thing where she just starts yelling one phrase over and over until you break. And Sutton does not break, and she doesn't get upset at all. She's just like, and she just puts on her little readers from CVS, you know? She's like, I have receipts. These are my receipts readers. And she just goes to town on it. So, well done. Meanwhile, she finishes this, and Kyle just winks at the crowd and smiles like, hey, my greatest hits, guys. Everybody enjoy that?
Yeah. So Rinna's like, if you want to make this go away, you make it a public apology, and you say, I'm so sorry I did that. Sutton, why did you do it in the first place? Why did you do it in the first place? And Sutton, meanwhile, is talking over her, and she's like, oh, Lisa's rule book. Let me see. Does she do what she says, and then it goes away? It's a very short book, everyone.
And Crystal's like, I mean, there's other people here, like my friends who are like freaking out and texting me, like, what the fuck is going on? And then the assistant comes over, the party planner's like, we really need to get the show going. She's ready. And Sutton and Rinna are still yelling. And Sutton's like, I did it because you went after Garcelle for the bolognese. And Rinna's like, why is that your fucking problem and not her fucking problem? And Garcelle's like, first of all, there are people here, you got. And Rinna's just screaming and yelling now. What made you screaming. Do that? That's the answer I want. And when I get it, I will let it fucking go. Okay, Rinna, you're drunk. You can't form sentences properly. And you were so drunk last time that you couldn't even remember what you said. And then you're bragging in that episode about telling off Erica for how drunk she was. Okay, this whole cast just needs to go get some help at this point.
Yeah. Crystal's like, oh my God. Oh my God. She's being crazy. Look, everyone's texting me. Well, it's really just not getting, I wouldn't say I'm getting 14 messages. But I'm definitely getting one message. So she's like, Dorit's like, hold on, guys, hold on. And Rinna's like, if you're going to make me do this across the table, I'll do it across the table. Well, which is where she would normally do it anyway. So Dorit's like,
guys, put a pin in it for just 1 second. Sharon Stone was less frightening weird than an ice pick in a hoo-ha.
Can I just have a sliver of your attention? That was a reference to my good friend, Sharon Stone, who's watching on her sliver cameras. So she goes, who started this? And then Sutton and Garcelle go, Kyle.
And Kyle just shrugs and starts cackling.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I just wanted to know if there are still issues between Rinna and Sutton. And like, are they okay right now? Are they sweeping it under the rug again? Like, that's fine if you want to know that, but like, maybe not the charity dinner.
And Rinna starts waving her spoon around. She's going, Kyle, fuck you, Kyle. And Kyle's like, well, I mean, I wanted them to have the discussion, but it's becoming really uncomfortable now. So, like, it's not Amsterdam level, but we could be getting there. And we see clips of, don't you ever talk about the husband.
So now it's time for the special guest. And so PK has his remote and he's supposed to be lowering the lights. But of course, he does the exact opposite. He raises the lights to maximum brightness. And all of a sudden, like, all the ladies turn into like old trees. And Kyle is like, great, thanks for this lighting on national TV.
No, time to go. Party's over.
So the lights go down. Dorit's like, I told you, PK. I told you. You don't know how to do it, PK. This is not a can of Pringles. It's not simple.
And then the lights go down, and she comes out on stage. And Kyle's like, oh, no, you aren't lying to me. You are lying. And Erica's like, no one.
Kathy's like, oh, my God, it's precious. It's precious. So it's none other.
Diane's husband learned a new instrument. Look at that.
Wow, Asher's really let himself go. So it's Melissa Etheridge.
It's Melissa Etheridge. Fucking Etheridge, yeah. So now like, this is my girl crush. This is my girl crush.
It's the battle of the who can be more impressed for the cameras. So Kyle's like, oh my God, you are lying to me. You are lying. Melissa Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge. I'm like, I guarantee normally people would be like, oh, cool.
Cool. Meanwhile, Kathy's like, so was Dasher hiding under the table the whole time?
Oh, it's good to see that Kim is playing guitar now. So
Melissa Etheridge starts her famous ballad. She's like, wah, wah, wah. And Rinna starts dancing like this. She starts dancing to the wrong rhythm, like it's like some dance hall number in, you know, 1950s Cuba.
She's doing West Side Story, basically. And they just show everyone just smiling and like clapping along. And they even like show Dwight being like, feels great to be back on Melissa Etheridge night.
I know. So. And you know, we all just kept looking at Erica waiting for the, my pussy is your window.
Come to my porn search. So.
The dungs are unlimited here.
Come on my window. That was my porn search. So, Garcelle's telling Son, you should go take a picture with her. Go on, take a picture. And Son's like, after I just yelled like that, being such not a lady, not knowing that Melissa Etheridge was upstairs listening the entire time.
Yeah, Melissa Etheridge has heard the yelling. Okay, she was married to that crazy girl from Popular. Okay, she's heard it.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, so they all get a picture, and then PK, of course, takes the mic and gives a speech longer than the song. He's like, it's an honor to have an icon like this. Me, basically. You're welcome, Melissa. Listen, I work closely with a primary wave, and they manage Melissa. And when she agreed to come, I said, Dorit, Melissa will be at our house. We're talking two-time Grammy Award-winning Melissa. It just goes to show you, no matter how fucking famous you are, you're a dancing monkey at the end of the day. The fact that Melissa Etheridge had to show up to fucking PK's house, you know she went home and just like crashed into barriers all the way home.
She's probably just like waiting. She's like, I heard Sharon Stone was going to be here. But, you know, like also such a like also is like no matter how famous you are, there's always going to be someone who's going to still try to like take your moment and build off of it, because all the speech was saying like, yeah, I got Melissa Etheridge. Like there was no point to the speech. Second of all, PK did not need to get on the mic. Why was PK on the microphone? Like there was 14 people in the room and he was standing right in front of him. He's like, hey, hi everyone. So, now it feels like I'm at the Greek theater again with boy, Ron. I'm like, why are you doing this, PK?
So Melissa Etheridge leaves, you know, and unfortunately her, you know, pride is left on the welcome mat. So she's gone. And then they all go back to the dinner table and PK's like, you can start arguing again now. Now, here's the funny thing. Rinna always knows how to pivot, right? So Rinna has just made a complete ass out of herself. She screamed and yelled in front of Melissa Etheridge. She was wrong, because Sutton proved her wrong by proving that she sent Harry a text. She looks like an asshole. So what is she going to do? Here comes the victimhood. Bring it on! Ding, ding, ding. Victim bell. Victim's approaching.
Hit it. Well, Sutton's like, well, now I'm not even mad at you anymore now that I heard that wonderful song about windows. And Rinna's like, oh, who cares? I'm sorry. Let's move on. So Sutton's like, what do you want from me? Well, how can I help? And she goes, we're done. I don't want to have to do this with you anymore. You know, my mom's stuff came to me today. It arrived. And Sutton's like, well, now Liz, she's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. So now it segues into Rinna. Well, who, by the way, this pain, I believe this is very real, fresh pain. I actually believe 100% that a lot of Rinna acting out is this.
Your mom dies. It's pain. I'm not saying it's not.
But what I did find amusing in this was that the way, like this scene, I actually felt like it was a very real moment for Rinna. But I also love in her realest moments, she also is such a soap actress. Like that's how, like she expresses realness through soap opera, like language, which I think is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So Sutton's, she's like, you know, we're going to let this go now because I have anger and feelings about a lot of things in my life. And Sutton's like, you can put them on me. Just put them on me. She's like, I'm doing the best I can. And then so she starts this mom thing, but then she starts this like, but there's no tears coming from the sob. And then so she starts doing the lamb breath. I guess she's trying to hold her breath to start real tears. I don't know what's going on, but she starts doing this like, I was like, okay, you know what? Please just end this soon, okay? Because this is sad. Like, your mom dying is a real thing. But to use it like that, like to weaponize it after just treating somebody like that again is...
Well, I thought it was funny the way Sutton, the way Sutton's like, oh, it's fine. You blame me. You can blame me. I can take it. I can take it. I'm like, you cannot take it, Sutton. So all of a sudden, Sutton, when she knows it's safe, is like the martyr. Oh, it's fine. Just put it on me. Take it. I am fine with it. It's like you are literally the worst person to take on any of this stuff, Sutton.
So Rena's like, I'm so sorry to be doing this in public. And Erica's like, oh, listen, honey, there was only one Jackie Ho. Do it in public if you need to. And she's like, oh. So they go through this whole thing about how this is all because Rena's going through a real hard time and she doesn't even care about this stuff with Sutton. And then her lash comes off, which lightens the mood because they all start cracking up and they're like, oh my God, don't let Jamie Lee Curtis fix it.
Gee, is she back? Does she have any more gadgets? And Rena's like, I just need support and I may act out and do shitty things, but I'm in pain. So they're all like, leave it to Morris Etheridge.
You know, and then we get a thing like a black, it goes to black, and then we get a special message. It's like, for information about dealing with having to do the splits every time you go to a party because of a disorder, please call
1-800
Kyle
Richards.
And that brings us to the end of Beverly Hills, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being with us on demand. Those of you who were here, hello.
Hi.
And we love you, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Less Namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
We talk to her daily, it's Kaylee.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Hail the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills. Paging Paige Mills.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon out of a cannon. Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutard. We love you guys.